Well, another Australian is in hospital today battling a serious case of blood clotting after receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine. This time, a woman in her 40s. She's from Western Australia. Authorities are now investigating a slew of other clotting cases to determine if there's a link to the vaccine. It comes as the government rules out another potential vaccine from overseas amid ongoing concerns at the slow start to Australia's rollout. David Lipson reports.
All over the country, people eligible for the AstraZeneca vaccine are calculating whether, for them, it's worth it. And today, two disturbing news events have brought that decision into stark relief. The first came from the Health Minister, Greg Hunt.
There have been 8,530 lives lost, but sadly, one of those lives lost, as I say, is an Australian life.
The man was 80 years old. He'd just returned from overseas, tested positive to COVID in hotel quarantine, and died in Brisbane's Prince Charles Hospital.
Making that the 910th life lost in Australia.
The other news from today from the head of Australia's drug regulator, Adjunct Professor John Skerritt, who confirmed a second case of serious clotting linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
This case, which occurred in a woman in her 40s, vaccinated in Western Australia, did fit the criteria, so we have a second confirmed case.
Her condition is stable, but Professor Skerritt says authorities are investigating other cases of clotting reported in the health system to determine if they can be linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine.
So we've got a very large number of reports of clotting, but at least as of the time I left my office an hour ago, there weren't any that looked highly suspicious.
And he points out the risk of developing the vaccine-induced condition remains extremely low.
As I've said before, your chances of winning lotto are much, 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 much higher.
So the risk of dying from the vaccine is vanishingly low, but without any community transmission right now, so is the risk of dying from COVID. It's a good problem to have, but it could turn into a very serious one as we head into winter with only a fraction of the population vaccinated. On Sunday, a paltry 12,000 vaccines were administered nationwide. Thankfully, things improved yesterday. Here's Health Minister Hunt again.
There have been 56,379 vaccines in the last 24 hours, given that some state programs have been paused or varied. We are particularly pleased about that.
He won't give particulars, but says the number of Pfizer vaccines coming into the country, currently about 130,000 a week, will ramp up in coming months.
That will increase over the course of April. It will then significantly increase again during the course of May, and then we'll have very significant numbers during the course of July.
The government's also revealed it's no longer pursuing the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, claiming it's too similar to the AstraZeneca product.
I was a bit surprised by the announcement today.
Roberto Perez Franco is a senior research fellow in supply chains and logistics at Deakin University. He says as things currently stand, the tens of millions of doses of AstraZeneca being produced in Australia could end up being sent offshore.
In the context of the Australian circumstances, it makes sense to wait to have the Pfizer vaccine for those under 50. However, that same calculus doesn't happen in other countries where they do have every day thousands of new cases. In this case, Australia could be producing AstraZeneca vaccines to export.
Dr. Jane Frawley is a research fellow specialising in public health at the University of Sydney. She was also confused by the government's decision to shun Johnson & Johnson on the basis of its similarity to AstraZeneca.
That in itself isn't a problem.
Should Australia be pushing to get its hands on the Moderna vaccine?
Yes, quite possibly. I think at the moment the government is rethinking all of this, but hopefully we'll know very soon.
Dr. Jane Frawley from the University of Technology Sydney. Our reporter there was David Lipson.